I just want to say how grateful I am that you join me every afternoon for prayer. It is such an anointed time. You know, Christ, when two or more gathered, he's present. And I just love praying with you. And together, you and I, we pray with the world. People in states all across this country and around the world. You know, we've got great people in Britain that pray with us, and Ireland and South Africa. And, you know, we're all one family. We might be separated by oceans or by geography, but we're united in prayer. And our loving Father hears our cries. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be praying with Beth Groshek today. She joins me from Green Bay. So I got BG from GB with me today. Hey, Beth, how are you?
Hi, Drew.
Hey, anything you want to pray for as we kick it off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to continue prayers for peace, for the intentions of my family, our colleagues, special prayers for our colleague Tom and his family and their healing during this time. And then also for Celine and her marriage. She's newlywed. And then for my little pseudo nieces, I'll be looking after them this weekend. So prayers for our family.
Lucky to have you as an aunt. I bet you're a lot of fun. That's awesome. Well, Beth, let's pray right now. And thanks for remembering Tom. Those who've been following the story I've been sharing, Tom is my producer and had a beautiful 32-year-old daughter that was stricken with an aggressive cancer. On March the 8th, she had a terrible headache, went into the doctor. She had to have emergency surgery. And just a couple days ago, about a week ago, God called her home in a matter of weeks, 3 weeks. And it has sent the family reeling, to say the least. And I last night around 10 o'clock at night, I reached out to him and Tom and I had a great conversation. And to say the least, it's difficult. He said burying a parent he thought would be a difficult thing, but having to visit his daughter in a cemetery, he says it's too hard for him to even think about it, to accept. And they're in the process right now of grieving. They're going to be having the funeral this coming, you know, weekend or so, Monday. So if you remember them and all who mourn, loss is a difficult thing. A friend of mine says, you know, something, Drew, he says, we love our family. We love our kids. He says, but they're on loan to us from God. We're all sons and daughters of God. And you know, we have to thank God for what we have. We have to remember that those in our lives, they're gifts from God. They belong to God, not to us. I know that's a hard concept sometimes to get our heads around. I know I do. Sometimes I have a problem with that. But God's good. And we will be united one day perfectly with those who've gone before us. So let's pray for their souls. Let's pray for one another. I want to pray for this woman who wrote to me. She signs it a desperate wife. And she says, could you pray for me and my husband? My husband suffers from depression and anxiety. He's also has a gambling addiction and is still in denial about how he is hurting the both of us. Drew, our marriage needs a miracle. Signed, a desperate wife. You know, I just want to say to you, keep praying. That's all you can do. Offer your suffering for him, for his conversion. Pray the beads of the seven sorrows. I've really been drawn to that prayer lately. My father had a gambling addiction, and my mother again prayed. And again, my father's such an incredible witness to the power of God's conversion. He was a broadcaster in the secular world and ended up having such a profound conversion. He formed one of the first Catholic radio programs in the city of Philadelphia. That's the power of God's grace and of conversion and of a wife's prayer. And I am convinced that as we pray, God hears these prayers. He hears our cries, and the result is always positive. One other intention. This person said, will you pray for family sobriety? Also for my daughter-in-law, she's become a Jehovah Witness and refuses to allow me to pray openly. She's very mean and heartless towards me. I'm sorry to say. But please pray for all those coming who are involved in the cults. All right, we'll lift that up for sure. And then finally, just one answered prayer, and then we'll pray. This person says to me, hey, Drew, this past November I called for my mom who had contracted COVID pneumonia and was in very serious condition in the hospital. Her family and friends were preparing for the worst. She continued to decline. She struggled to breathe. In desperation, yet with a very hopeful heart, I called into the chaplet of divine mercy. And by God's grace, I was one of those extra blessed callers that you chose to take that day. Second petitioner for the fifth decade. You were so kind. You interceded for my mom. Drew, the next day, She completely turned the corner. It was a total miracle. God is so merciful. He healed my mom of her COVID. Later scans showed no scar tissue in her lungs, which to me was just as miraculous. This is truly one of those prayers of the Holy Chaplain. Amen to that. You know, amen to that, amen to that. God can reverse course. He can heal. Miracles take place every day here through this prayer. And I'm so grateful that you're praying with me. Let's pray now for you, for that miracle you need, that answered prayer you need, for the discernment, for the wisdom to follow God's will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call this afternoon. Elena is listening to us in Chicago. Hey, Elena, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe, first-time caller.
Oh, great to have you.
I'm so happy I'm the first one. Thank you for taking my call. I need prayer for miracle healing of my brother, Bonnie. Okay. He has some kind of cancer in the blood. It's not the leukemia, but it's called MDS. He received a lot of platelet transfusion already, but it's time they check it. It's still critical low. I think it's the bone marrow that's not working.
Right.
Also, my sister-in-law, Lolita, who had a brain tumor, and he had surgery 8 years ago, but it has come back. So she's been in bed for 2 years, I believe, already.
Wow.
Also, a nephew who has a stage 4 cancer. It started in the liver, but it has, other organs also already have cancer.
Wow.
Now, myself, I was admitted in December 30 for COVID. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and I was readmitted again in February 26. This time, I was seen by pulmonologist, and he said that I have fibrosis. Now he confirmed it yesterday because I had another CT and CT of the chest and pulmonary function test. So he said I have fibrosis.
Oh no!
And this medicine that is expensive, we don't even know if insurance will cover it. It will just stop the progression of the disease. So I need
Elena. Let's pray for you now, okay? Let's pray for that fibrosis that you are dealing with right now. Let's pray for your brother with cancer, your sister-in-law with a brain tumor, for your health, for all these intentions you brought forward. And I want to pray for anyone right now who has cancer, anyone who's waiting test results, biopsy, scans, anybody who is going to be facing surgery or dealing with chemo or radiation or immunotherapy. But I just give you the spectrum of those who are suffering. And I want to pray in particular for Elena. The first time caller, I just ask you touch her lungs, you touch her body, you heal her of this fibrosis. And I ask today, this very moment, Lord, that many healings and miracles take place, that those cancer cells disappear, that those tumors vanish, that doctors will be amazed and stunned, and that we can sing your praises. We can thank you for your mercy and for this prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Dan is praying in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Good afternoon, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for taking my call, Drew. I'd like to pray for Marie Rodriguez. She's 90 years old, and she's in her final hour, I would say, here on Earth. She's not Catholic. She was raised Methodist, but non-practicing. And so I just told the family that I would call in and have everyone pray for her mom, that if she died this hour, that she would die in the Lord's peace, and that the chaplet was being prayed for.
What a gift you're giving her, Dan. I want to pray for you, okay? I want to lift up your intentions. I know you didn't voice anything, but thank you for calling us, allowing us to share in this holy moment of death. We'll pray for Marie, who's 90 years old and in her final hours. And I've shared this a million times. I'll share it a million more because I think it's important. The Lord told Faustina at the hour of death, I will defend as my own glory every soul that will save the chaplet or, and here's the key, when others say it for a dying person, that pardon is the same. So we'll pray for Marie, not Catholic, may not know the chaplet, but I am convinced she'll receive the graces of it, and our Lord will meet her as a merciful Savior, that God's anger for any sin will be placated, and one day, you know, she'll thank you for your prayers. So, Lord, I pray for all those on their deathbeds now, all those that you're calling home in this hour, all those who you will be calling home in the not-too-distant future, all those who will be victims of violence or accident or tragedy. Lord, I pray for those who've gone before us. We trust in your mercy as we turn to you again and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to go to Rocco next. Maggie has been monitoring our Twitter account. And two things. One, if you could send me your answer prayers. I just feel so strongly at times how the Holy Spirit works in this chaplet. And if God answers that prayer, write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer. And I love to share them every day. We hear testimonies every day of miracles that are happening. If you have an intention, you can send it there too. But Maggie monitors our Twitter account, and you can check that out, at Drew Mariani Show. It's a great way to put them up, and Maggie will bring them to our spiritual family here for. And as Maggie's going to share those intentions, let me just ask you to pray for my family, and in particular for this pilgrimage I'm going to be going on as well, that God will just bless it. And Maggie, what's coming in?
We got a really interesting email earlier today, Drew, from Cindy in Salinas, California.
Oh, wow.
prayers of thanksgiving to God for showering his mercy on a 6-year-old autistic and nonverbal child who went missing early this week at a marina park. I received the Amber Alert after my husband told me of the situation, and I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet for her safe return. I felt a voice inside saying, "Pray until tomorrow." Since there was only 15 more minutes until midnight, I said, "Okay," and I prayed until the next day. The next day, I saw social media that the girl was found just before midnight.
Praise God. I love it. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 5, that tells us to pray unceasingly.
Isn't that amazing?
And St. Faustina, too, she would do the same thing. She'd pray the chaplet over and over and over and over again. And Maggie, as you and I often say, and we see it all the time, the abducted, the missing, the kidnapped, they're returned. I mean, it's such a powerful prayer for that. I don't know why, but... thank you for sharing that. What a great answer to prayer.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a bunch of other tweets coming in. Carol asked for prayers for her friend Susie, who has pancreatic cancer, for healing and recovery for her. Kathleen asked for prayers for Kara, who's been diagnosed also with a rare cancer, praying for miraculous healing there. Jess wrote to us and said, "Please pray for my oldest son, who is battling OCD, depression, and anxiety. He just started intensive residential care and needs all of our prayers and love to make this work and finally find the help that he really needs." And Elizabeth asked for big prayers today. "Please pray that baby Jacob's MRI shows that his tumor has completely disappeared."
Wow. All right, we'll lift those intentions up for sure. And let's bring Rocco in, too. He's been waiting in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hi, Rocco.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. You have a special show I love to listen to, and I love to pray with you.
Thank
I just
you
want
so
to pray for, there's so much to pray for, but I want to pray for Father Lewis of the CFRs in New York. We just looked at some land. He wants to start a farm called St. Joseph Farm for young men to teach them how to discern and also to strengthen their faith and teach them how to work a farm and how to do other things. But
that's
it was
awesome.
A beautiful farm, but it's $6 million.
Yeah.
And way beyond the budget, but there's nothing impossible for God. And maybe somebody we can pray for all of them. That's why I had a call. I said, let me call Drew. I just told Father that before I left. I said, this is a great place.
But Rock,
so,
I'll
whatever
tell you what,
God's will.
A couple things. $6 million, I mean, I hold out a big cup, right? Why hold out a small cup? God can give you $60,000 as easily as he can give you $6 million. So let's pray for that money. You never know who's going to step forward. The other thing I was struck by, Brother Andre, who had great devotion to St. Joseph and built the oratory to St. Joseph in Montreal, had no money either. And he would turn to St. Joseph. I'm sure you're doing that. But he'd also take medals of St. Joseph. I'd go around that property. I'd plant those St. Joseph medals, or at least he'd throw those medals all over the property and entrust it to him. And Mother Teresa did the same thing. When she ever needed property or land, she would take the miraculous medal, and she'd do those memorari. So we're going to pray for you right now, Rocco. I would pray for your personal needs, but I want to pray for this prayer. I want to really pray that God will send, he'll open the coffers of heaven, that his providence will flow, that $6 million you get will come in such a miraculous way. Another story of God's mercy and providence can be written. And Lord, I pray for Father Lewis. I pray for Rocco. I pray for this beautiful St. Joseph farm that will honor that beautiful father who took care of Jesus, the Christ child and the Virgin Mary. So we call upon the Holy Family now as well as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Corinne's praying with us in Rochester, Minnesota. Corinne, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am asking for prayers for my sister. She is facing another battle with her ex-husband. He is trying to take away her custody rights regarding making medical decisions. And I am praying that she is able to win this case and continue to be able to make decisions for the lives of her children. And I am just praying that he has a massive conversion of heart and that things go in her favor. Thank you.
I love it. And let's pray for that. It's a beautiful prayer. We'll pray for a massive conversion of his heart, but let's pray in particular for your sister. All right. And Lord, I give you anyone who's facing legal issues, division in relationships, situations that absolutely seem impossible. And Lord, I know you tell us our duty is to trust entirely in your mercy. And then you will in turn give us all that we need. So I give you this beautiful prayer from Corinne, and I just ask for a peaceful prompt and an amazing resolution. And I unite not only her prayers, but all those right now who are crying out to you with such heavy hearts, such important intentions, such deep needs. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Lake Villa, Illinois. Pamela, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Pamela.
I'm calling for my son, Luke, who has glioblastoma. He had surgery with 95% of the tumor removed out of his brain. And in January, he had a seizure. In February, he had a seizure. March, he had a seizure. He's lost his speech, and he was texting, and now he can't text. Mm-hmm. He has weakness in his one arm and his leg, and now they just told us that he can't write. And we're leaving Sunday to see him, and I'm just praying for a miracle that God will heal him. I've been praying since last year, and I kind of, you know, when I found all this out, I got upset because my prayers weren't answered. And my friend had told me to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, please enter my heart. And that helped me to come back to the rosary and to keep praying for whatever God has for plans for my son. But I really need a miracle because we're going up there and we're going to need a lot of strength when we're going to be with him for Easter.
Well, let's pray for him right now. All right, let's pray for that miracle that you're looking for, Pamela. All right, and have faith. All right, St. Augustine said that faith is to believe what you don't see. And what will the reward be, he says? It's to see what you believe. And we need to put our trust in the Lord. We need to believe that God's going to bring good out of this situation. And we're going to believe with you right now. I know sometimes when you're in these difficult moments, it's really hard to pray, let alone to trust. That's what we're called to do. And Lord, I pray for all those right now who are in that desert right now, who are in that valley, and we're really struggling. And I just ask that in your mercy, you hear the cries of this mother. I pray for miracles for those who really need them, where those situations seem impossible, for those situations that are intractable, for those finances that are overwhelming, for those relationships that look like they're over. Lord, you're a God of new beginnings. You're a God of healing. You are a God of providence. And I thank you for that. I unite now with all who pray with me. We place our trust, our faith in you. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Sorrows,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. We come back. I know you're in a difficult time, and I know surrender is often a very difficult thing to do. I mean, sometimes God wants us to do that. When I come back, you'll hear an amazing story of a priest who thought he could evangelize all of Russia, ended up in solitary confinement, and had to learn that, well, important spiritual lesson of surrender. Stay with me. That is straight ahead.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Father Walter has a number of great insights, and he leadeth me. He says there's a beautiful connection between the expansion of our faith with a deep commitment to consistent prayer. The more we pray, the deeper we pray, the more our faith expands. And so he asks us to be very committed in a regular prayer life, which always expands our trust in divine providence.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I love it. A lot of truth in that. You know, I often say that the more you pray, you know, the better things go. You know, Our Lady said that the one who prays does not fear the future. I'm always struck by that in that particular apparition. It's, you know, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5 that tells us to pray unceasingly. Prayer changes things. It does, and we need to make time for it. I'm grateful for the fact that you and I every afternoon pray that chapel to Divine Mercy together. Yeah, I want to introduce you to a future saint. You know, I quite often call upon the venerables, right? The blesseds. We call upon the powerful communion of saints together. There was a priest, his name was Father Walter Chizik, and I was at an event a couple weeks ago. It was a fundraising event. And a woman came up to me and she handed me a book, and it's Walter J. Chizik, Triple Novena, Extraordinary Experiences and Powerful Prayer. And I said, well, where's his cause? Is he underway? And she says, he is underway. And I wanted to introduce you to him because in light of all that we're seeing with Russia, Father Chizik had this desire to evangelize Russia, right? To go over there and to change. He really felt God was calling to do that. He ended up arrested and in a prison cell for a very long time. And his life is one of surrender. You know, there's a power that God can use us even in solitary confinement. It was a St. Therese who wanted to be a great missionary, never left her convent. But look at the impact her little way has had. It's amazing what God can do. We shouldn't put limits on him. So I've invited today John Dejack. He's an attorney and educator, headmaster at the Kelsey Academy in Front Royal, Virginia. And he's also co-editor with God in America, The Spiritual Legacy of an Unlikely Jesuit. And it's good to have him here with us because he's working on the calls right now for the canonization of the servant of God, Father Walter Chizik. Hey, John, thank you for your time. It's good to talk to you today. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, great to be here, Drew. Thanks very much for having me.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know anything about him or his story. But there's so many great spiritual lessons that can be learned. So I'm going to throw you a softball. Why don't you just take it and run with this one? I mean, bring us back in time. Who is Walter Chizik? Tell us his story.
Sure. No, pleasure. It's born 1904, tough coal mining town in Pennsylvania, Shenandoah. He was number seven of 13 kids to Polish immigrants. And was kind of a hellion when he was growing up. Just like to pick fights, like to be the rapscallion, and really shocked his family one day when he decided that he wanted to be a priest. Wow. No one believed it. This is the kid whose dad took him to the police station to have him locked up.
Wow, so that's a story.
So I could wax on that for another half an hour if you want. Wow.
Do me a favor. I'm curious. I didn't know that. That's an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah.
His father was so concerned about him, he took him to the police department?
Yes. He was a kid who saw a redheaded kid with glasses walking down the street and would just bop him in the nose, just for devilment. He said, always wanted to be tough. Always. And he was kind of the runt to the litter, if you will. He was number seven, obviously, but kind of a smaller guy and wanted to prove how tough he was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he would always, you know, pious Polish stock would always repair to behind a particular bureau in the house at the end of the day. Wow. And say an act of contrition. And so he had this tension within him as a kid, and obviously the piety won out in the final analysis. But anyway, he went to Orchard Lake Seminary, which was a Polish seminary for Polish kids in the United States, in Orchard Lake, Michigan, where he did his high school and college years. But it was there he really felt drawn to the Jesuits, and the Jesuit priest had given a retreat. And so he ends up entering the Jesuits and with a very specific desire to go to Russia. Pope Pius XI had called for priests in what was really a death sentence in the late 20s to enter into Russia, then under, 10 years under the communist governments in the Soviet Union. To really minister to people underground. And so he enters the Jesuits, sent to Rome for his studies, learns Russian language, literature, the Byzantine Rite and Mass, the Divine Liturgy, and was accepted into this mission and went in on St. Joseph's Day in 1940. Do you want me to keep going?
Please. Take us through a story.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of details on a lot of this stuff, so I want to just give kind of the thumbnail sketch. But once he's in, his basic mission was to see if priestly work could be done, and it turned out it really couldn't be. So thorough had communist indoctrination been. People were suspicious of one another. He's in a lumber camp as a laborer. But he does do some priestly thing. He hears some confessions. He says mass in secret privately for a little bit, But he was under suspicion, and sure enough, a year later, they pick him up, and they send him to Lubyanka, the dreaded prison in Moscow, where he was in solitary confinement for about 5 years. When he was there, you know, there was psychological as well as physical torture. They figured out who he was. They charged him as a Vatican spy. And he had always kept his toughness throughout all of this, and to the point where he finally broke down and confessed to crimes he didn't commit. And it was, you know, tell us or die, confess or die. And for all the tough guy he was, he buckled. And he said that was the moment, really, where he was converted. He had to put all his trust in God and not worry about doing it himself. And he said there's a lot of self in his prayer up until that moment. But once he gave himself over to God, and he describes it in his book, He Leadeth Me, as the Lord testing him in the fire, in a fiery furnace, almost as hot as hell itself. That was a direct quote. But once he gave himself over, he didn't fear death. He didn't fear what would happen anymore, and was truly able to, in freedom, to really let God do the work and not him worry about himself and what he had to do. He's eventually released from the solitary confinement and is sent to the Gulag for about 15 years.
Wow.
There he actively ministered, found other priests, wonderful stories of people who knew him in the camps and what a solace he was for them. And then he was released for good behavior, basically, to kind of a house arrest. And for 3 years in Russia, he was able to go to smaller towns. But not the big cities, and he couldn't leave Russia, but he worked as a laborer, and in a number of places he was chased. He had to move because he was chased around by the KGB because he was very freely practicing the faith, baptizing, hearing confessions, offering masses, etc. That, again, this is subversive activity, so he had to move, and then finally in 1963 repatriated to the United States in exchange for 2 Soviet spies, and then continued his ministry at Fordham University until his death in 1984. He was a sought-after spiritual director and guide, and just a retreat master.
My guest today is Dr. John Dijak, and John, I want to take a few calls for you, too. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll do that. John, who's listening in Encinita, California, was actually in seminary in Kentucky, and he met Father Chizak. We'll hear that story, and of course, we'll talk more about some of the really important spiritual lessons learned and where his cause is now, why we should turn to him, especially in these times. That and more straight ahead. If you want to join me, dial in 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I'll take a few of your calls. If you are just dialing in, I'm sharing the story, actually, Dr. John Dijak is sharing the story of Father Walter Chizak. His cause is opened, and I want to introduce you to him. I think he's a powerful saint. He was a man, and look, God uses the most flawed of all of us. I look at Saul, who was putting people in chains, became one of the great apostles of the early church, right? Became Paul. You take a look at Augustine. You take a look at so many people that God uses. David, you know, to slay a giant. Here's a shepherd kid, you know. God can use the most unlikely people, and even with foibles and weaknesses and personality quirks, God can use you if you're open to it. And that was the case with Father Chizak. He wanted to convert Russia, ended up in a gulag in solitary confinement, and yet it was there that he learned to surrender to God, and his life is one of just really, I think, of heroic virtue. His cause is underway, and few people have met him. He's not an ancient saint, you know. He lived through the horrors of communism. And John joins me today to share a little bit more of a story. John, let's go to the phones. We'll grab a few stories here. You know, what I love about him is that's the whole theme of surrender. I want to talk to you about it, but I want to get John on. He's in Encinita, California, and he met Father Chizek. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for all you do.
You got it.
I was in a seminary in Erlanger, Kentucky, St. Pius X, in 1975-77. And Father Brown, the rector, had Father Chizek give us a retreat. And I got him to sign my With God in Russia book. And he was filled with joy the entire time he was with us, constantly beaming, smiling, telling us about going into the hospitals in Russia with holy water and baptizing the babies, his train rides, bringing Bibles into Russia, having been able to speak Russian before he got there. Mm-hmm. And it was a time of joy and fellowship with him.
I love it. John, thanks for sharing that. And it's one of the great characteristics of sainthood, isn't it, Dr. D. Jack? It's joy. Even in times of desolation and difficulty, if you have God, there's something about that seems to emanate from these saints. And I think Father Chizek is on the way to becoming one. Was that one of the common denominators? I mean, what was his personality like?
Yeah, thanks, John, for that comment. It was absolutely right on. If you look at pictures of him, one thing that people note is his joy and his eyes. He had piercing blue eyes, and he absolutely one of the very unusual things, and I think it just points to grace, mm-hmm. is that for most people who went through what he went through, there'd be years of psychological, maybe therapy, or even medicating through means that are unsavory, you know, alcoholism, sure. or what have you. He had an equilibrium of mind that astounded so many people. He just had it together, and I'm sure he fought. You know, I'm sure he had things that he had to deal with. But when he dealt with people, he couldn't stop talking about God. Always wanted to talk about God. Always wanted to bring God up in each person's daily life and in every moment of each person's daily life, and how the lessons he learned there, really, I think his true sanctity is the conviction of Father Lindeyer, my co-editor and I, that his true sanctity took place back in the United States, and that Russia, that whole Russian experience, was kind of another seminary for him, and the heroic virtue really took place back here, and how he helped people in this land.
Yeah, I think a priest like him, you know, who go into these places of absolute torture and deprivation, gulags, prisons, Father Delp, Maximilian yep. Kolbe, so many of these men, I mean, it's certainly a special calling and a special grace that they have to have received in there. I'm curious, John, before I go back to the phones, how did you get introduced to him?
Great story there, too. I was a senior in high school, and St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, Ohio, and there was an assignment, read a book and write a paper on it in theology class. And I'm looking at all these books, and, you know, there's just kind of some pop, you know, psychology stuff. Why am I afraid to love? And why am I afraid to tell you who I am? And you know, but I find this dog-eared 1970s book called He Leadeth Me. And I just read the back, and it's this tough guy priest who is sticking it to the communists in the Soviet Union. And so as an 18-year-old, that was my initial draw. But really, truly, the best spiritual book I've ever read, returned to it throughout the years, and he's just become a dear friend over the years. Started praying to him and entrusting my son to him, who's disabled, my eldest, and he's just been a great friend to our family. And so through all of that, I became involved in the cause of his co-author in the first two books, Father Dan Flaherty, very much encouraged the third volume, of which I was a part with Father Mark Lindeyer.
That's awesome. Let's go to the phones again. We'll go to Orange County, California. Charles is listening there. Charles, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
My pleasure for waiting. I'm so delightful. I'm so happy, pardon me, that you have this subject on. Father Cizek was a close friend of my babushka. And before I go into that, I'd like to bring up a few additional items that were not presented. Fathers, Pope Pius XI had seen many Russians coming back from Russia just totally torn down, and he became very saddened to see this. So he started the Russian Catholic Church, and Father Cizek was one of them. He was one of the ones hand-selected by the Pope to be trained to go into Russia, study Russian iconography, Russian language, Russian history, Russian religion, mm-hmm. etc. He did not want to see it destroyed, So he was in Poland for a while, and the Nazis, the early stages of World War II, hated his guts because he kept saying the Divine Liturgy in Gospodi Pomiluj, and they couldn't stand the Russian. So that means Lord have mercy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what ended up happening is he went to Russia. The Pope summoned him directly and told him of a mission he wanted him to go with a few other priests, in which he had done. Now, I do, he was first a lumberjack. He was not forced by the communists as of yet.
Hey, Charles,
and he went there on...
Charles, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I only have about 4 minutes. I know that Dr. Dijak had gone through his life. I understand that your family is Russian, and
are you related to him?
Are you related to him?
We're Russian nobility, and so he knew who we were. And I'll be real quick. There's a lot of other things that are very important. But anyway, what ended up happening is he came to my family was one of the ones instrumental in notifying Congress because Father Cizek was believed to be have passed away. They didn't know he was alive. And they made a special mission to have him released by the commies. Right. When you say Russian is Russian, a communist is an evil person. And but anyway, what I'd like to say is he came over to my babushka. She fed him like he had never been fed before. He loved the pirohi or vareniki. He loved the stuffed cabbage, the kolbasi, and all of that. And anyway, he dedicated the book with God in Russia to my babushka, Mare Marushka. But yes, and what we say at Easter, I'd like to say to you all, is Christos voskrese means Christ is risen, and vostene voskrese means indeed he is risen. And those are our joyful words we say, and I'm currently peeling tons of pussy willow branches. But also, I was baptized at St. Andrew's Russian Catholic Church that is where he was as well.
Thank you. I got to leave it right there because I only got a moment or two left. I'm grateful for your call and for that personal insight there. And John, as I said, I only have a few moments left for you, too. So let me give you final thoughts here as well. I mean, Walter is it Cizek or Cizek? I guess it depends on how you look at
it. If you're a native Pole, it's Cizek. If you're an American, it's Cizek. He went by both, obviously. I get corrected by our Polish friends all the time in terms of proper pronunciation. But
before we run out of time, though, I just want to I've got a book here with a triple novena. I often think that there are these certain saints who advocate for certain needs. What's he known for? What should people turn to him for? Is there a source where they can get more information on his life and his prayers?
Yes, the Walter Cizek Prayer League. If you Google that, or Cizek, Cizek.org, that is, that's the official organization promoting the cause for his canonization. You can acquire With God in Russia, which is the story of his Russian odyssey. He Leadeth Me, which is the spiritual lessons from that odyssey. Or With God in America, which is the spirit, spiritual legacy when he came back to the States. So any of those three, plus holy cards, prayer cards, etc. And the novenas, of course.
Thanks for your hard work. Thanks for all you do. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to you and share a little bit of the extraordinary life of this great priest. And we'll pray for his intercession, no doubt about it. John,
amen.
God bless you. Keep up your good work.
You too,
okay?
Drew.
All right, thanks.
Thanks
so
very
much. That's
Dr.
John Dijak, and I've got to take a break. I'm up against the clock. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. On the other side, we'll tell you another story. Speaking of Russia, actually, we're going to take a look at a fascinating story of Stalin, Putin, Xi, chemical weapons, bioweapons, and much more. I know it's a mouthful, isn't it? Plus, if you're looking to refinance or you're going to buy a home, you're going to get in the market, maybe you're going to sell, you might want to stay with me. The latter part of that hour, we'll take a look at the real estate market and all that looms in the not-too-distant future. So stay with me. We're back with more right after this.